challenges of these days of the pandemic and difficult economic times have affected us individually and as a church. But we realize in our finer moments that life is more about how we take hold of what happens to us rather than what happens to us. You see, there is no room in the teachings of Jesus or in the conduct of the Christian life for sitting around licking our wounds and feeling sorry for ourselves. Our gospel lesson provides the pattern of empowerment and chooses the hero path. If someone hurts or offends us, off we must go to the offender rather than sulking away. Honest conversation is a sign of respect and care in community. Now, Matthew was most likely living in a small house church kind of community, one without a beautiful organ or great musicians like we're blessed with. There were no fancy surroundings. But the text underscores the reality of life in community. It is not a matter of if, but when disputes and dissatisfactions arise. It is important that problems be addressed openly and directly, with care and respect for one another. Real community always involves compromise. The question is, how much diversity can we have within our unity? When does diversity stretch a community to the max and threaten to undo it? A wise person has said that the greatest differences in the world are never between people who believe different things, but between people who believe the same things but differ in their interpretation. You know, there can be too much unity which results in this mass conformity. The herd mentality can do more harm than good. We have but to remember Nazi Germany in World War II. It's easy to have community without truth. Look at the dark days of the Ku Klux Klan in this country. They knew how to organize their bigotry and racial hatred into a mean community. But it was equally devastating to dare the truth without the support of the community, as we saw in the life and early death of Martin Luther King. So the question comes to us, how much diversity can a community handle? The answer is a lot. But we must remember that diversity needs to be authentic and real, and that the community that seeks unity emerges from a conversation of loving conflict. Jesus reminds us that listening to each other is one of the chief ways we can move into genuine community and be the church. Most of us don't like conflict, and we're certain that we don't like confrontation. But we need authentic dialogue and fierce tenderness when we live in a church or a community or a world with each other. The church has been a part of a long conversation on unity amidst diversity. The mainline Protestant church has also moved from being a church where men were the predominant preachers and teachers and leaders to one that shares equally the pulpits and leadership with men and women. We need to be in a long conversation with each other about the nature of the church and the way we want to be in the world. There have been bumps along the way and challenges, but the church has struggled to grow through valuable conversation and mutual listening. One preacher talked to his congregation about being the umbrella church. His conviction was that everyone should gather under the wide umbrella of tolerance and differing opinions and changing times, to celebrate the uniting presence of God in the midst of gathered community. We should seek to be an umbrella church. It is a huge umbrella, one that welcomes each person on the journey toward discovering the presence of God in the midst of spiritual community. This is an umbrella that can stay open through glaring heat and hefty rainstorms and hailstorms and quakes, daring to proclaim the wideness of God's mercy and God's love. We know, or we are learning, that in the words of Paul, achieving unity requires that we do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but rather that we value the truth of love more than we value the love of our own opinions. We have a model for this kind of living. Jesus emptied himself of pride in order to discover humility. He lived in ways that contributed to the lifeblood of community. He emptied himself of those qualities that get in the way, like arrogance and pride and self-conceit, in order to be filled with that qualities of a person that make for love and justice. Qualities like humility and wisdom and compassion and openness to the other. As members of the body of Christ, we can be compared to pieces in a jigsaw puzzle. Each piece has protrusions and indentations. The protrusions represent our strength, our gifts, our talents, our abilities. The indentations represent our weaknesses, faults and limitations, shortcomings, undeveloped areas of our life. The beautiful thing is that the pieces complement one another and produce a beautiful whole. Just as each piece of a puzzle is important, so each member of the body of Christ is important and can minister to the other members of the body. Just as one piece is missing from the puzzle, its absence is very obvious, and it damages the picture. And also, the whole is weakened when we are absent from the body of Christ. Just as when each piece of a puzzle is in place, any one piece is not conspicuous, but blends in to form the whole picture. So it should be in the body of Christ. The other day, somebody sent me one of my favorite illustrations that I've used oftentimes with gatherings of young people. And it talks about geese heading south for the winter, flying along in V formation. You know, I'd be interested in knowing what science has discovered about why they fly that way. It's been learned that as each bird flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Christians who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they're going quicker and easier, because they're traveling on the thrust of one another. Whenever a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to go it alone, and quickly gets back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front. When the lead goose gets tired, he rotates back in the wing, and another goose flies point. It pays to take turns doing the hard jobs with people at church or with geese flying south. The geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And finally, when a goose gets sick or is wounded and falls out, two geese fall out with him to protect him and help him down. They stay with him until he's either able to fly or until he dies. And then they launch out on their own, or with another formation to catch up with their original group. If people knew we would stand by them like that in the church, they would push down these walls to get in here. If we are to meet each other in unity, we have to meet each other in our diversity, letting go of the pride that separates us. Love, that unfailing quality of acceptance, goes beyond tolerance and even compassion. Honesty in relationship is the key to our gathering together as two or three or more. I believe that to be a Christian is not merely deciding that we can meet here, magically letting our differences dissolve. Rather, we meet here in worship because we have already been met by a God who is pleased by our worship together. The God we celebrate here in worship holds our differences and rejoices in our unity. For love is at the root of unity, and selfless love is unthreatened by diversity. God's love thrives where God's people are engaged in honest conversations about faith and about the love of God. Each one of us, in all of our diversity, is an important part of God's work. Let me close with a short story about Sir Michael Costa, a celebrated conductor, who was holding a rehearsal. And as the mighty chorus rang out, accompanied by scores of instruments, the piccolo player, a little pint-sized flute, thinking perhaps that his contribution would not be missed amid so much music, stopped playing. And suddenly the great leader stopped and cried out, "Where's the piccolo?" The sound of that one small instrument was necessary to the harmony. And the master conductor missed it when it dropped out. The point? To the conductor, there are no insignificant instruments in the orchestra. Sometimes the smallest and seemingly least important one can make the greatest contribution. And even if it doesn't seem to make that big a difference to the audience at large, the conductor knows it right away. In the church, the players and the instruments are diverse. Different sizes, different shapes, different notes, different roles to play. But like the piccolo player in Sir Michael's orchestra, we often in our own sovereignty decide that our contribution is not significant. Our contribution couldn't possibly make a difference. And so we quit playing. Stop doing that which we've been given to do. We drop out. But the conductor immediately notices. From our perspective, our contribution may be small, but from the conductor's, it is crucial. I just have to believe that I'm talking to some piccolo players out there this morning who've dropped out of the orchestra for whatever reason. Pain, exhaustion, insecurity, criticism, laziness. Convinced that your contribution doesn't mean a hill of beans in the bigger scheme of things. So we buried our talents in the ground. Well, for all the piccolos who won't play or at least aren't playing, Jesus has something to say. That wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. Let us pray. Dear God of all creation, come and help us to feel your presence among us. Give us your guidance as we worship this day so that we might hear each other. We ask for your vision so that we might see the world through your eyes. Come and grant us faith, Lord, and courage. But disturb us when we're too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we dreamed too small. Disturb us, Lord, with the abundance of the things we possess. We have lost our thirst for the waters of life and ceased to dream of eternity. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more fully, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where in losing sight of land we shall find stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes. Guide us in the future, in strength, in courage, in hope, and in love. We offer this our prayer in Jesus' name.